Well, here we are again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you back to our study. It's a good day to study the Word of God. Every day is a good day to be in God's Word and have God's Word on your mind and on your heart. And that's what we as children of God intend to do, is to keep God's Word in our mind and in our heart and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Amen. Well, thank you for joining today and disciplining yourself to, I know the enemy does all that he can to try to stop you from getting into God's Word and having fellowship around God's Word. I know he does. He does with me and he does with everybody that sets their mind to do that, to sacrifice and to study the Word of God. It's not easy. The enemy fights that. That's one of the main things on his to-do list in this battle that we're in, this spiritual battle that we're in. One of the main things that he makes sure that's covered is anybody that disciplines himself to be around the Word of God. And he tries to discourage it and stop you and bring things... Everything starts happening at once. You get situated, get your Bible, get you something to drink or whatever it is, and sit down and get ready to start doing it. It seems like everything in the world starts happening, doesn't it? But that's it. That's it. And you believe it because the enemy is there and he is busy about battling against God's Word. Well, today we're going to go back into our study of killing. Study number 11A. It's the second study in the letter K in the ABCs of Christian Growth. And today we're going to go back into this study. We started a new category in our study last lesson. And we began to talk about New Testament facts about killing. New Testament facts about killing. We talked about it a little bit and we talked about man and we talked about man's salvation and that the Lord has changed things somewhat in the New Testament, but his mind is still the same concerning killing. The Lord hadn't changed his mind about killing. He said the last enemy to be defeated is death. So if the Lord loved killing or had it on his mind to kill all the time and that it gave him, I've heard people say that they hate God, these God haters out there, that's one thing that they'll use. They'll say, well, I can't worship a God that kills children and kills this and kills that and slaughters children and blah, blah, blah. And they're getting that stuff from the Old Testament, but it's not because they've studied the Word of God. It's because they've read over it and they didn't read the context. They just pulled something out of there to blame it on God. And they make him look like an ogre and a murderer, and they claim he is. And they call him that. And they say they're not going to serve him for that. But what they're doing is lying in their heart. They're trying to make an excuse because they have no idea about who God is. Because if they did, they wouldn't call him a murderer because he's not a murderer. If God wants to kill, he'll kill you. That's it. He said he's the God of life and the God of death. He kills and he makes alive. And he does. But God doesn't go around just killing people for pleasure. What kind of fool would say something like that? That's idiocy. That's stupid. That's a dumb thing to think. The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. And that's foolishness. To think that God that would send his son and put his son to death and what he went through and incarnate and come down here to a sinful, wicked, cursed mankind, humankind, and get in the midst of them and then let his own creation murder him. Now you tell me that, huh? Isn't that ignorant? But getting on into the study, we began studying that, and we started talking about some facts in the New Testament. Well, we talked about the New Testament, that it takes it for granted that killing is part of man's Adamic nature, his fallen Adamic nature, and it is. And it is. There's always been killing from Adam and Eve. When their children were born, killing began and murdering began. And it's been going on ever since, all the way up until today. You want peace, 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 when there is no peace, the scripture says. As long as man has this Adamic nature, man's going to have a lust in him to kill. And man's going to have a desire in him to murder. And it's there. And the only one that can bring it into submission is God the Holy Ghost. And that's... He's the only one that has the power to subdue the flesh, to bring it, to get that flesh under control and control that flesh. Otherwise, man has no idea how to behave. I mean, he might have morals and integrity and this, that, and the other before the world and this, that, and the other, but it's not godly. You see, and he's still a sinner, and he's still cursed, and he's still a child of Adam, a descendant of Adam and his nature and what happened to him. But we talked about that, and that the Lord, that we're starting to look at some changes that are going on from the Old Testament to the New Testament when it comes to this matter of killing. The Lord hasn't changed his mind, as we said, about killing, but some things have changed, and you'll see that. The New Testament takes it for granted that killing is part of man's fallen Adamic nature, and then we talked about the Lord and others referred to the law concerning killing. I mean, the Lord didn't hide the fact about killing. I mean, one thing that the Lord didn't have to talk about was killing if he didn't think it was a subject that needed to be talked about. I mean, he was among sinners, and he was in the midst of an Adamic race that was of a people that was cursed and fallen. And the Lord, you figure 3.5 years, the Lord picked his words. He picked his words and what he chose to talk about while he was here in the flesh. And one of the things that he mentioned several times and talked about quite a bit, and we're going to get into that today, is killing. The Lord didn't hold back about that. It was a subject. It was a topic that needed to be discussed among men that had the lust of killing in them, and everybody on the planet except for the Lord. You say, "Well, I ain't never desired to kill nobody." Well, maybe not out loud, but the Bible says that murder proceeds from the heart, and that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the Lord warns us, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Are you saying that the Lord is not speaking the truth when it comes to man's heart, that murders come out of the heart and come from the heart, proceed from the heart, thefts, adulteries, murders? I mean, we should be careful about what we say we don't do, huh? Because we do. And the Lord and others referred to the law concerning killing. Now, you might have never have thought it was ridiculous when it came from your heart. I mean, that's the way we should think. But there's a battle going on in us, brothers and sisters. There's a battle going on. There's a battle. Just like the old cartoons, when that fellow would be standing there, and I'm mentioning this, but just like the old cartoons where a fellow would be standing there and he'd be tempted to do something. And a devil would pop up on one shoulder with a spear and a pitchfork and all that, and he would be pss, 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 and trying to get him to do something. You see his eyes go down like he's yeah. And then all of a sudden an angel would pop up on the other shoulder, and he would speak, and they would fight against one another for that fella to do right or to do wrong. that is as real as that cartoon is in this life. It is as real a battle that's going on that is unseen, and the Scriptures tell us, and it's scriptural, that that kind of battle is going on with every believer. Now, you better believe that. If you don't believe that the enemy is trying to cause you trouble and grief and trying to get you to do wrong and get you out of fellowship with the Lord and against God's word and discouraged and bitter, you don't know very much. Or you need to be finding out what the Bible says about it, because that's the battle. That's part of the battle, a big part of the battle. And when you learn how to fight and you use and you have God's word in you, the battle becomes a lot. You start recognizing the enemy's devices, and they don't have such a big, they don't surprise you as much. You know how to handle them, and which way he's coming. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices and how he comes as the wiles of the devil. The sneakiness of him, that's what wiles are. They're just sneaky things that he does and tries to sly into something and just try to be real sneaky about the way that he does things to you. That's the way he is. That's what the Bible says. Okay, so the Lord and others referred to the law concerning killing. Now we said that because the Lord Jesus Christ did, the Apostle Paul did, the Apostle James did. They all mentioned killing. And they all heard, all the apostles heard the Lord Jesus Christ talking about killing. And that it is a topic in the Scriptures. And it was a topic that the Lord Jesus Christ taught on and preached on and warned about and even spoke of himself about killing. You see, this is not this little private piece that the world's trying to get everybody to be thinking about, that, oh, we all come together and there is no killing and we all have peace. They're out of their stinking mind. Have you looked at the news lately? This world is not the way that these peacemakers and these lovey-dovey, warm, fuzzy, googly-googly, whatever they are, talking about how much peace there is out there. There is no peace. And if you're living in 2022 and beyond, all you got to do is walk outside or read the newspaper and go outside and be in the wrong place at the wrong time, brother and sister, and you're going to be in the middle of some peace, all right. And get shot in a hurry, even being around kids. It's not that way anymore. So before we get started again and in our study, as we have on all these other lessons, I got some news for you here. Now, this is stuff that I pulled up, just like I have on all the other ones. I just thought I'd share a little news with you. You think that this killing is kind of happenstance, it happens, and then everything goes back to normal and goes back to peace, and something might happen months or several. No, it happens every stinking day. Every day. Here's some of them I'll share with you. And there's a Wisconsin TV anchor, and if anybody's listening that knows this person, I'm saying this with sympathy and sadness about what happened, but the reality of this thing is what God says, that what's in the heart is not all the time showed on the flesh. In other words, you might have a big smile on your face all the time and impress people and be very nice to people and be known for a reputation for things, but your heart could be just exactly the opposite of that, or your feelings, or the way that you think about life. And you'll see what I'm talking about. In Wisconsin, there's a TV anchor there, a very young woman, 27 years old, and the news is calling it absolutely devastating because she was a news anchor. She was a newswoman. And if her family is hearing this, I give all my thoughts and sympathies. I've prayed for your family and that the Lord would give you peace about all this, and because there's no way to understand it. The heart, nobody knows the heart of another person and what's really going on inside. Only God the Holy Ghost knows it, and He can bring the truth out and make everything balance like it should. And this is very sad, but respectfully, it's not any more sad than what's going on every single day with drug addicts, drunkards, mental patients, families, fathers, mothers, children. She killed herself. She was known, and she was the anchor at this TV station. And all of the people that watched her were so encouraged by her and her smile and her big heart and what she represented as the news anchor. She was kind of, family to everybody that watched her. You get on the news and you learn somebody and you learn about them and learn their name, learn something about their family and watch them laugh and watch them tell about the news and stuff like that. And you get kind of personal with them. I guess that's the way the people were with this young woman. But it said foul play was not in it. It said that they found her. Let me read a little bit to you. It says, the station's announcement said its team was absolutely devastated over this woman's death. Said she was a kind person with a big heart and a contagious smile, and we will miss her greatly. It says that the police department confirmed that officers found her at home on Saturday morning. That's 2 days ago, police found her body during the welfare check. In other words, she had mentioned that she had made mention, and people got concerned about her, that she was talking about hurting herself. And they done a welfare check and went by her house to see if she was all right, and they found her. They found her, and she wasn't joking. One viewer described her as a joy to wake up to every day. Another one described her as a ray of sunshine. Several other viewers talked about how they enjoyed watching her morning show every day. Some people said they were gutted for this woman's family and friends and the whole team that she belonged to on that news place. But she committed suicide. She killed herself. Killed herself. She's 27 years old, and to the entire world or the entire news congregation that she had out there, all the people that the public that watched her and admired her and looked up to her, didn't know what was going on in her heart or in her mind. Her outer appearance appeared that impressed everybody, and they were content with the way she was and probably admired her and wanted to be like her. But that wasn't what was going on inside of her. You see, it takes God the Holy Ghost to fix those things in our hearts about this matter of killing others and killing ourselves. God's the only one, God the Holy Ghost is the only one with the power, and the Word of God is the only things and person that has the power to stop killing. A sad situation right there, but a young woman that killed herself. Here's another one. A teen fatally shoots his stepfather. and claims he was protecting his family. He said that the police said there's no reason to believe that the 18-year-old, he was 18 years old, and said there was no reason to believe that he had plans of killing his stepfather, and that it was not it would be anything other than a domestic situation that ended in a homicide. It said that the problem was that him and his sister were at home, and it said that, let me get here, Tuesday, regarding a domestic assault, claimed that his stepfather, this fella that died, said it was his and his sister's time to die. Said him and his sister was in the room, and his stepfather walked in and said it was him and his sister's time to die. He walked in and pointed the gun at me and my sister and told us both to get on our knees. The stepson told his stepfather was, I guess, was going nuts or something like that, and he called 911. And while he was on the phone, the stepson told the 911 operator that he's pointing a gun at our heads, and then his mom came from behind and jumped on this guy and started wrestling with him. And he threw the gun down on the ground. And I guess he was fighting with the woman then. But the gun hit the ground. And the fella, the 18-year-old, picked the gun up and stopped it. He said, I had to stop him. I had to protect my family. Good for him. Good for him. And all you, oh, he shot somebody. No, he saved three lives. His mother, and his sister's. Did you get that? But his killing, if it wasn't for him killing and protecting his family, him and his sister and his mother probably be dead. But yeah, there it is. And that's 2 hours ago. 2 hours ago. Isn't that something? Killing. You thought it was peaceful and happy outside, huh? Happy, happy, happy. Fuzzy, fuzzy, fuzzy. Everything's good. The world is great. That's not the way reality is. That's not what truth is, folks. And I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to just tell you the truth and get you to realize the truth and understand what's going on. Perilous times are here. Are here. The Lord told us about it, and we're to be in the mind of what the Lord, we're to think like the Lord Jesus Christ thinks. And if the Lord didn't want us to think about stuff like that and to know, he said you can tell the color of the sky and know what kind of weather you're going to have tomorrow, but you can't see the time, you can't tell the time, the signs of the times. The Lord reprimanded some people for not being able to see the signs of the times and acknowledge them. There's a bunch of Christians out there, unfortunately, that are walking around with their hands over their eyes and their ears and pretending that everything's all right, buried up in the world, and it's goo. Here's another one. Claremont man beat his wife and his stepson to death with a hammer before raping a witness. How about that? 41 years old, refused to go in front of a judge. He got arrested, and he refused to go to his hearing in front of a judge, and the judge just set the bond, said, all right, stay in jail and rot then. But the investigator says that this fella killed a teenager and his wife in a trailer at this RV park. And they say that it happened, and it was very brutal. And it was with one of those short-handled 3-pound hammers. That's a stinking hammer there. And he beat their brains out with a hammer, killed her and killed him with a hammer. And this one fella said, in 25 years of doing this, this is probably one of the worst. And he was a lieutenant at a sheriff's office. He said, this is one of the worst. And I can imagine arriving at something like that and seeing two people laying there with their brains all over the place. And a fella took a hammer and did that. I can imagine what a gun would do, yeah. but somebody took a hammer and did that. It said the Lake County Sheriff's Office says they believe that this fella first killed his wife with the hammer and then put her body under the mattress. The next day, the next morning, that's when the 17-year-old stepson came home, and that's when he attacked the stepson and beat his brains out with a hammer. All right, and then it says that he allegedly murdered the teen, and it says that there was another woman in the camper witnessing the killing, and authorities say this fella tied her up and sexually assaulted her for hours until she escaped and ran to the neighbor's house. And it was only then that the victims were found in the RV. Yeah. You call that good and such a wonderful Disney World out here and dreamland and everything so hunky-dory, wonderful, wonderful? Is that wonderful? That's some heinous crimes. I mean, it's... You can't find words for it. That stuff ought to be shocking people, making people cry that stuff's going on. But people read through the news and probably go to the funny papers right after they read that. Oh, well, wasn't me. Yeah. Here's another one. Father shoots teen. Now, I'm talking about stuff that just recently happened. I'm not talking about stuff that... years and years and years ago or 5 years apart or 10 years apart. I'm talking about stuff that happened. Every one of these is within 48 hours of when we're doing these recordings and we're talking to one another. Father shoots teens attempting to break into a car with infants. His wife was in a van. This is over in Texas. His wife was in a van. He had his two infants in car seats in the van in the back, and he was out doing something up at the house, and when he walked out, these two teenagers were in the side of his van getting into the van, and he took his gun out and shot both of them. They were attacking his family. Shortly after, the family pulled into the driveway, it says, and two 16-year-old suspects walked up to their SUV and opened the rear door where their one-year-old was, and the two suspects attempted to enter the vehicle. And the father shot him. Good for him. Good for him. The father shot him while his children were in the car seats and said there was one bullet hole found in his van. And I imagine it scared him to death having to do what he had to do to protect his family. But that's what a man is right there. That's a good example of a man that loves his family. Do what it takes to protect his family. And said after he shot and those two guys, I guess, fell out on the ground or whatever, his wife took off in the van and to get away from them. It says both the suspects were 16-year-olds. Okay. Here's another one. Student shot and killed at a bus stop. Leads to the lockdown of the schools. All right, this is probably just a few days ago. It said police and school officials in Greenwood, Indiana, say that a student was shot and killed at a bus stop, prompting several schools to close. It said that their thoughts and prayers were out. It said that Thursday that it responded to a homicide, and that the victim was a student at a high school. The department said that it believes the killing was an isolated incident and that the victim was specifically targeted. A student shot at a bus stop. Targeted. Killed. Here's another one. It says that a student's dead and a teacher injured in a school stabbing attack. It said one student was killed and two other people were injured following a stabbing attack at a high school.
It said, let's see here. I'm going to tell you just what's going on without reading the whole thing, if I can help it. It said there was a physical altercation about 7 o'clock in the morning. A report of a physical altercation between students on the campus that resulted in a stabbing and of two victims. The attack occurred in one of the school's common areas. The officer was able to respond to the incident in 20 seconds and take an individual into custody. The two stabbing victims, both minors, were taken to the hospital and provided with emergency care. However, one succumbed to their injuries and killed him, stabbed him to death in a school and the teacher. Peace, peace, and there is no peace. I'm not sitting here trying to discourage you or talk negative all the time, but folks, things are negative. How somebody could sit around and say how wonderful the world is and positive the world is the ones that's not looking at this kind of stuff right here that goes on every single day. I ain't read one good thing in none of it. You kick the Lord out of a country, and this is the way your country begins to start being, and it gets worse and worse and worse. Here's a man charged with murder after an argument over a barbecue chicken. Said a family was, the killer was there, and they started arguing over a chicken, and he shot the man and killed him, and then left and kidnapped a child and went to a house when the police was chasing him, went to his house and barricaded himself in. And after about 5-6 hours of negotiation, he come walking out with the child in front of him. They arrested him over a chicken, barbecue chicken. Here's the last one. 14-year-old, this is something here. 14-year-old shot 18 times while waiting for a bus after school. A 14-year-old boy who was waiting for a bus to take him home from school was shot 18 times Monday afternoon and died shortly after the police said. Authorities identified the boy, and he was the latest victim among hundreds of homicide in this city that's being recorded and I guess dealt with. He said this fellow was waiting at a bus stop and just at 3:30 p.m. and two unknown shooters exited a vehicle, approached him, and began firing. The gunman chased this fella as he fled and fired at least 36 shots total. He was struck at least 18 times and collapsed on the sidewalk before he was transported to the hospital and pronounced dead at 4 o'clock p.m. Said they caught that on surveillance camera, and it said several bullet holes were seen on the walls of the nearby Rite Aid, while bullet markers had been placed across parts of the sidewalk and the street. And I think they said something about him being shot. Let's see, 16-year-old boy was shot 8 times. No, this was another one. 21-year-old student in Temple University was also shot and killed off of campus during a robbery. It says a fatal shooting took place one day after a 16-year-old boy was shot 8 times in another city. I mean, how much you want me to read? That's all I'm going to do today. I mean, we done spent 30 minutes on all this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful news. I don't know where these people are getting the idea that everything is so stinking wonderful. It might be wonderful for it ain't wonderful for all these children that are getting killed and murdered. I mean, shot the boy, or shot 36 rounds.
and hit him 18 times and killed him. Killing is in the minds and the psyche of society. It's one, if not, I'm not going to say it's the first, because sex is a god to this country. Education is a god to this country. And now, the god of killing is taking over, isn't he? Yeah, he sure is. He's having a lot of people mind him, ain't he? Well, let's talk about some more stuff in the scriptures. Let's go to the scriptures. Now, we talked about the New Testament takes it for granted that killing is part of man's fallen Adamic nature. Okay, we talked about that and seen what the scripture said. And then we talked about the Lord and others referred to the law concerning killing. Yes, they did. And we're going to pick up today, and we're going to see that Jesus taught the church, us, the body of Christ, the church, not to be scared of their body being killed. We are not to fear that. The Lord said that specifically in the scriptures in a couple places. Told us not to be scared of it. And he told this, everybody that was listening, when he was talking about killing, he addressed the people that were standing around and the believers and addressed the church and said, don't be scared of that. Don't be scared that they kill your body. Listen to what he said. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Now, why would he bring up killing and bring up us not fearing that if it wasn't going to get to the point to where if you didn't have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, you would have a reason to fear being killed? That's the way society's getting. Come on now, let's tell the truth. Quit pretending. Get out of that Disneyland and that Wawa that fairy tale thing that you're thinking in your mind that's really going on, that's going on, and you're living in such a wonderful, wonderful time. It's a wonderful world. You're living in fantasy land. That is not the way the world is. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, Jesus taught specifically the subject of what he said right there was killing. And he put out a truth right there and said for us not to worry about people killing our body and not to fear that. But then he backed it up and he said what you should fear. He said, but rather fear him, talking about his Father. Fear him which is able to destroy. To destroy both soul and body in hell. Does that sound like a lovey-dovey, warm, fuzzy Savior that would never say anything bad and just waiting for the chance to kiss you and hug you and tell you how wonderful you are? He is that, and he is wonderful. And he's a beautiful, wonderful, kind, compassionate God. I testify to that. But it didn't sound like he was talking about warm fuzzies when he said that. He said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus Christ, your Savior, said that, talking about killing. And then he said in Luke chapter 12, verse 4 and 5, that Brother Luke recorded, and said, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed, (God kills) after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Jesus taught the church not to be scared of their body being killed. Your body's going back to the grave, and if it's however it's going to die, or either the rapture's going to happen, and the Lord's going to change us and take us out of here and get us out of this mess. But you're not to fear somebody killing your body. You're not to be scared of that. You have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. And if you die naturally, your body's going to, the Bible doesn't say, it doesn't refer to the body dying permanently. It says it falls asleep. Check it out. When a person's body dies, the Lord says it goes to sleep. That's what the scripture says. And I don't understand that, how a dead body can sleep, but that's what the Lord said, and he knows more about eternity than I do. But that's what he said. Look at it. Look it up. But the Lord said that for us not to fear somebody killing our body. You're not to walk around fearing this thing. But you're to recognize the truth and what's really going on in society and around you. You are to know what's going on around you. The Lord said for us to walk circumspectly. And what that's talking about is like how a cat walks. Have you ever watched a cat walk? A cat will take about 10, 15 steps, even when he ain't doing nothing, or ain't got no attention, or nobody talking to him. He's just out there roaming around by himself, and just look at him sometime. He'll take 4 or 5 steps, and then he'll look up, and he'll look to his right, and look to his left, look behind him, then he'll take 5, 10, maybe 15 more steps. And then he'll stop, he'll look around him, and he'll check out circumspectly. He checks all around him what's going on and knows what's going on around him all the time. That's the way the Lord said for us to be. To know what's going on around you. Not to get in people's business, to mind your own business, but to know what's going on around you. And I ain't talking about getting on the news and discouraging yourself and listening to all the lies that they talk and all the foolishness that they come up with. I'm just talking about knowing the things that are going on. Knowing the things that are going on. The signs of the times. You see? Jesus taught the church not to be scared of their body being killed. And that's not all. Here's another one. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about this matter of New Testament facts about killing. What the New Testament has to say about killing. It takes it for granted that killing is part of man's fallen Adamic nature. The Lord and others referred to the law concerning killing, talked about it, and referred to it. The Apostle Paul and the Apostle James and the Lord Jesus Christ did. Jesus taught the church not to be scared of their body being killed. He said that twice, okay? And two people, he might have said it more than that, but two of the fellows, the apostles, recorded it for us. And God the Holy Ghost authored that. All right, what else? Well, Jesus spoke the most on the subject of killing out of all the things that he said in the scriptures about killing. The most and the biggest subject that he talked about was his own death. Jesus spoke the most on the subject of killing about his own death and being killed. Did you know that? Jesus talked a whole lot in the scriptures all the time, preparing the apostles, his apostles, preparing his apostles and gradually getting into the subject as he was getting closer to the cross, gradually getting into the subject of telling and explaining. And a lot of times he said these things and they didn't even hear him, or it went right over their heads because he was talking about that he's going to be killed. And, I mean, even Peter went off on him one time and grabbed hold of him and said, "Not so, Lord." And the Lord rebuked him. But he wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking to the devil that was causing Peter to do that. He said he had to be about his father's business. Jesus spoke the most on the subject of killing about his own death and being killed. Now, you want to talk about somebody talking about killing and the subject of killing, and I'm sure that you've already said, wow, I can't believe there's that much killing going on in the Scriptures and that it's all over the place and about everything. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. The Scriptures are about life and death and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. About eternal death and eternal punishment and eternal life. Polarities. The things that the Lord came to take care of. Now, let's look at some scriptures concerning this. What the Lord Jesus Christ, some of the things that he said in the scriptures concerning his own death and being killed. Well, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, the Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He started telling his disciples about it. It said he began to be doing that, Matthew recorded. He began to do that. He done it on purpose. He talked to those fellows about being killed and that he was going to be killed, and he used the words killed. They're going to kill me. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 22 and 23 says, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again, he shall be raised again, and they were exceeding sorry. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 2, the Bible says, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover. This is the Passover where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and sacrificed. It was actually a legitimate Passover, but this is the one that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on that day. And the Lord's preparing them, and it's 2 days before it. You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Mark recorded some. Chapter 8 and verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. Mark also recorded something in Mark chapter 9, verse 31. For he taught his disciples. He taught them. He taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Well, when you start looking and you start studying that this matter of killing, and you start really getting into what the Scripture says about it and what the Lord Jesus Christ and how he brought this matter up, no wonder they were exceeding sorry. He was talking about killing and being killed. He didn't beat around the bush about the matter. Oh, they're going to, you know, and he told them, they're going to kill me. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 32 through 34. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. Kill him. Jesus spoke the most on the subject of killing about his own death and being killed. He told us not to be afraid of our bodies being killed. He talked about, he spoke about killing in the scriptures and for the church not to be scared of it. He talked about concerning the law about killing. This was not a hidden subject or a quiet, behind the door, spoken in the ear kind of thing. This was out in the open, and Jesus, while he was here, talked about killing all the time. And the scripture has killing all over it, and in it, and through it. Killing. The New Testament takes it for granted that killing's part of the Adamic nature, and it is. It is. So, today, I think we'll stop right there, and we'll pick up where we left off. We've talked about several different things when it comes to the matter of New Testament facts about killing. We talked about the New Testament taking it for granted the other day on the last lesson, and the Lord and others referred to the law concerning killing. Today, we took up the subject of and talked about Jesus, that he taught the church not to be scared of their body being killed. That's what the Bible says. So you don't have to fear that. You're not going to be in that body the very second that it goes to sleep, that it dies, that it goes to sleep, the scripture describes it as. You're going to be out of that body before it gets put in the ground. That's a fact. That's the truth. When Rebecca was having Benjamin, the Bible said that when she was having him, that she died. It said, but she didn't, it says, as she was having him and her soul was departing, just before she died, her soul was departing. She named him Benjamin, I think it was, or something like that. Anyway, the father changed it to Benjamin. But she named her son as her soul was departing. You see, you're not going to be in that body. You're going to be with the Lord before your body gets picked up from wherever it drops. And way before it goes in the ground, and you're not ever going in the ground. Your body is. But we're talking about killing, brothers and sisters. And it's not a very good subject or popular subject, but it's a different kind of subject when you talk about it spiritually. Because God's Word is perfect truth when it comes to death and life, and killing, and saving life. And we're going to get in some more of that. But Jesus, when he's talked about killing with his own mouth and his own words, that he chose his words, and the Holy Ghost authored for men to speak and be written down for us to be able to read and to know the mind of the Lord, Jesus spoke the most on the subject of killing about his own death and being killed. Amen. Well, we're going to stop right there, and we'll pick up on our next recording. Let me give you these scriptures, if you would. And I'm going to try to shorten up those I'm just, the only reason now, the only reason I'm giving you those news reports is to show you, while we're talking about this killing and we're studying what the Scripture says about killing and what the mind of the Lord is about killing, I'm showing you another side of reality and what's really, really going on while we're sitting here talking about it in the Scriptures. It's going on. It's going on. Okay? It's all this stuff about men being so good and nobody should kill nobody and all blabbity, blabbity, blab, blab, blab is just a bunch of blow is what that is. And there are people that are against killing, but it's the ones that love God, and even they have the flesh to deal with. And it takes God the Holy Ghost to bring that into submission. I'm not saying that you ever wanted to kill anybody, but what I'm saying is it's in the flesh, and it's in your heart. And if you don't keep your heart with all diligence, it can come out of there and can... And all these psychiatrists and all these people that think they know what a human being is like and how a human being thinks without being in the Scriptures and understanding the flesh and understanding that man has two natures whenever he's born again, and that another man that is not born again does not understand spiritual things at all. And that they have an Adamic, cursed nature. And that man is not bad and getting better. Man was the best, and he's getting worse. That's the way things are. But mankind doesn't want to admit that. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Luke chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Matthew chapter 17, verse 22 and 23. Matthew chapter 26, verse 2. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Mark chapter 9, verse 31. And Mark chapter 10, verse 32 through 34. All right. Well, there we go. Now, this is probably not the most entertaining and well thought out and so sophisticated, however you say that. So just the speaker's words and the speaker just, boy, he just impressed me. That's not me. I just say what God the Holy Ghost leads me to say and how he leads me to say it. And that's what these studies are about. Now, I'm a preacher and I'm a teacher, but I've only been used to face-to-face. Sitting here looking at a screen and talking into a microphone is not something that I'm used to. So if it sounds just generic and sounds caveman-like, it probably is. So, but... The thing that we're trying to learn is what God's Word says, okay? And I hope you can just grit your teeth and bear with it and just learn something from God's Word, and we are learning. And Jesus probably had the very best words and the most attention that anybody could give him, and I look forward to hearing his voice and looking at him when he speaks, and look forward to everything about seeing the Lord and bowing to him and just loving him and not having that sin nature on us anymore. That's going to be, I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. Can you? One evident thing about mankind, and every man understands if he'll tell the truth, is that we do have an Adamic nature. And how do you prove that? Because I don't know what it's like not to be able not to sin. I don't know what it's like to be holy. Do you? To be like completely and utterly holy and clean. And not thinking any terrible thoughts and ugly thoughts and imaginations, and not thinking of bad images and not having temptations and things like that. We're going to be like that. We're going to have the mind of Christ. We're going to have bodies fashioned like unto His glorious body. It's going to take millions of years to get used to that. You know? I can't describe that to you. I can just tell you what the Scripture says, because I've never been completely pure and clean of sin. Have you? Some people think they have, and then they wake up. But praise the Lord for doing what He's done, huh? Bless His wonderful name. He's done it all, and He did it for us, and we ought to do for Him, shouldn't we? Amen. Well, the Lord bless you, and I appreciate you. I really, really do. Studying God's Word. It's beautiful and it's wonderful, and God's Word liveth and abideth forever. And it's not vain for you to study God's Word. You're growing and you're learning, whether you think so or not. You just stick with it, okay? I'll talk to you on the next recording. This is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.